Good morning to you. Good to see you here today. My goodness, we don't need a new building. I don't know why we're even thinking about this stuff. Okay, I think we need to take this congregational vote right now, not tonight, so that it's everybody on everybody's mind and heart how important that is. So we look forward to that tonight. Thank you in advance for coming back out for that. I'm so excited about the story. I got a text, I actually posted something on our Facebook page, the church's Facebook page early this morning. Just said, looking forward to the story. God loves us, always has, always will. And one young mother here from the church commented on that and said, I just finished reading the story. My whole family can't wait to go to church, meaning this morning. So that's kind of neat. And I'm sure many of you are here anticipating our beginning of this brand new teaching series entitled The Story. So let me start with a have you question, okay? Are you a little frightened? Have you questions always scared me just a little bit because I know somebody was like, maybe going to get personal or something. But here's a have you question, okay? Have you ever walked into a movie 10 minutes late? Isn't that the most... Oh, it is awful to walk into a movie 10 minutes late. It's usually because the line's so long getting a ticket, or, you know, the popcorn line is so long, or whatever. But I've done that. I'm sure you have too. You remember how that feels? You know, and then, you know, something happens like, what was that all about? Well, if you'd been there at the beginning, you would have heard it from the beginning, and you would know more about what was going on if you're there from the very beginning. I kind of feel like that this morning, because if you miss the opening minutes of a movie, fast-paced scenes, you're not going to understand the rest of the story. So here we are today. And those of you that are here, I'm glad that you're here, because this first week is really important in light of this 31-week adventure that we're going to go on. All right, so let's begin. I want to talk to you today about the Big Bang, okay? Now, not the Big Bang of the evolutionary kind of Big Bang. I want to talk to you about the Big Bang of creation, the Big Bang of God's reaching down into this great world and creating everything that we see. Okay, I'm not talking about the Big Bang, you know, where they say, you know, something happened, some big explosion happened, and we have all that we see here. You know, I believe in the Big Bang. I just think that the Big Bang was God, okay? And when you read this story, and I'm sure that many of you have gotten into that this week, and I really want to encourage you to keep doing that. It talks about this Big Bang of creation. And in the very beginning of the story, we're introduced to the main character. It's God. It says, in the beginning, God. In the beginning, God created. Not this impersonal accident, Big Bang, but the creative purpose of a personal God. I mean, the Big Bang of creation is presented in the beginning stages of this story as something that is poetic and something that is artistic. Matter of fact, if you look at this, and I'm sure you have, you know, you have days 1, 2, and 3 where God is creating places. And then day 4, 5, and 6, where God is creating things to fill up the places that he just created. And then day 7, of course, was God rested. I mean, just think about the beauty of this. That God in his creative power brought everything into being. Nothing was there, and he created it all. You know, a couple things that I think is really interesting. You know, you have day 1, it says that God said, "Let there be light." But yet the sun and the moon and the stars weren't created until day 4. So the day 1 light, it wasn't the sun, moon, and stars, it was the presence of God. So here in the beginning of creation, we're introduced to the main character, we're introduced to God. He creates these places, light and darkness, sky and water, and on day 3, land. And then in day 4, he creates the things to fill up that light and darkness, the sun and the moon and the stars. He creates the things to fill up the sky and the water, the birds and all the creatures of the sea. In day 6, he creates the things to inhabit the land. We have the animals and we have human beings. But here's the really cool thing. Have you ever just looked at creation and been amazed at what God has made? You know, I've had the great privilege of traveling in lots of places and around the world. And I've seen some of the most beautiful things. And as a Christian, I always just stop and think, man, isn't that awesome that God made that? I mean, I remember one time I was in Africa, and we were out on this safari, and we actually saw these giant elephants in the wild. And I'm thinking, man, I thought those were just in zoos, right? No, God created all of that. And the most amazing thing, when you look at all of the things of creation, when you look at the heavens, when you look at the beauty of the earth, when you see all this stuff that God created on day one through day six, it brings you to this point, and you have to ask yourself, what in the world was God doing when he made us? Because all the beauties of creation are secondary to you. All the things that God has created is secondary to you. Don't allow any group, whether it be animal rights, environmentalists, or whatever, you are different than everything else in creation. You know, it's kind of like the moment, and I remember, and you can remember this too, when you have that very first child. I remember, man, when Sarah was born. I mean, I've known people that had kids my whole life, and I liked very few of them. But when God made one and gave it to me, and when I realized that one is part of me, it was different. And when God created everything in creation, when he made you, when he made me, we were different. All the beauties of creation are secondary to you. The truth, that truth should be a tremendous self-esteem builder. To understand that God's supreme passion is to be with you at all costs should make you feel so good about who you are in life. So we had the big bang of creation. We had a second big bang. We had the big bang of the fall. Okay? I mean, think about this. We had a big bang where God spoke and everything that we see, even us, came into being. And then the Bible tells us about this big bang of the fall. Adam and Eve created in God's image, in his likeness. They were given this marvelous thing called freedom, the power to choose. And folks, listen to me. God has never forced anyone to love him. Now, I want you to know that the reason you're here is because he loves you. That we are different than all other creation. We are the crown of his creation. But in order for it to be true love, God had to give us a choice. So Adam and Eve were created with the freedom and the power to choose. God does not force love. That's why when we come to this story, we're told about two trees. About two trees. Now think about this for a moment, because in the Garden of Eden, it says that there was, in the middle of the Garden of Eden, there were two trees. There was the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and there was the tree of life. Matter of fact, here's something that's kind of cool if you want to do this. Do you have your story? Open up your story to the very, very front cover. Right inside, there's a map there. It's really cool because a lot of people don't realize this. Did you know that the Garden of Eden, the Bible describes the Garden of Eden as being right in between the Tigris and Euphrates River, right there. Right there where it says Babylon, in between those two rivers, was the Garden of Eden. I even drew a tree right there. You're probably a better tree drawer than I am. But that's where the Garden of Eden was. Isn't it amazing to think that the Garden of Eden was right smack dab in the middle of what we know of today as Iraq? I mean, one of the most desolate places in the entire world, that's where the Garden of Eden was. And when God created that garden, he created it. It was a perfect place. And he put in the middle of it two trees, tree of life, tree of knowledge of good and evil. Now think about this, folks. This is so interesting to me. The one tree, the tree of knowledge of good and evil, God said, don't eat of that tree. All the other trees in the garden, beautiful fruit, and you can eat of any of them, including the tree of life. Don't eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. They were enticed by the devil. They ate of the fruit. Eve ate of the fruit. She gave it to Adam. He ate of the fruit. And sin entered the world. Did you notice in the story there in chapter 2 of Genesis, it says that when God kicked them out of the Garden of Eden, he put two angels to guard the entrance to the garden. You know why? Because he told them not to eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. They could eat of the tree of life. They chose to disobey God and eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and then God had to keep away the ability to eat of the tree of life. So he planted these two angels and he kept them from going back into the garden because he says, when you eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, you will die. Sin entered the world and they began to die. Therefore, he couldn't let them eat of the tree of life anymore because now they had sinned and they were going to die. If they'd been obedient to God, they would have eaten of the tree of life forever and ever and ever, and they would have never died. It's called the fall. It's the big bang of the fall. And these two trees, this tree of knowledge of good and evil, this tree of life, represents the choices that God has given us to follow him or to rebel against him. Adam and Eve rebelled against God. They ate of the forbidden tree of knowledge of good and evil. And God's vision to be with his people was ruined. And here's the real neat thing, folks. You ready for this? And this is why I didn't want you to miss the first 10 minutes of this movie. The rest of the story is about God's pursuit to get us back. The rest of the story, after this week one, the rest of the Bible is God's story of his pursuit on how to get us back. Because that's what sin did. Matter of fact, let me go on and tell you about the big bang of the damage. So you had a big bang when God spoke and everything came into being. You had the big bang of the fall when they chose to disobey God and sin entered the world. But then you have the big bang of the damage of that sin. Because Adam and Eve chose a different vision for what God wanted for them, sin became a part of their life. It became a part of their DNA and it produced more sinners. I mean, if you've read the story, you'll notice you have Adam and Eve in this beautiful utopia, this perfect place, and they sin, and what happens? Well, they have children. They have Cain, and Cain kills his brother. A couple chapters later, you have this story of Noah, where God says the world has become so bad that I'm going to start all over. I'm going to destroy the world. I'm going to wash the world clean of its sin. He said, I want you to build me a boat, and I want it to be this big and this deep, and I want you to take all the animals onto the boat. Why? All because sin entered the world. If you read the story, Genesis 4 through 9 presents sin and a sin nature that permeated the human race. God chooses Noah to build an ark, and God does a do-over of the human race after the judgment of the floodwaters. And the flood erased the wicked human race from the face of God's creation. But it did not erase the sin nature from Noah and from his family. And you know what? You want me to convince you that the rest of the story is all about God getting us back to him? Because when you think about the damage that this big bang of sin did, God gives us a clue. I call it a salvation clue. God gives us a salvation clue right here in the very beginning. Let me show it to you. I bet you've never noticed this. Do you realize that when Adam and Eve sinned, it says all of a sudden that they were aware of their nakedness? Now think about that, folks. I mean, you and I mean, I don't know about you, but I just think clothes are like a great idea. Don't you? But back here, they were not aware of their sin. But then when they chose to be disobedient to God, it says in the very next phrase, it says that Adam and Eve, they noticed that they were naked. And here's what you probably didn't see. It says that Adam and Eve took fig leaves, and they fashioned for themselves garments to cover their nakedness. And then it says, just a few verses later, it says God replaced their fig leaves with the skins of animals. It says that God realized that they had made their garments to cover their nakedness, their sin. But it says God took the skins of animals and fashioned for them these garments, and he covered their nakedness with the skins of these garments. Now think about this, folks. What's the skin of an animal? That animal had to shed its blood. God fashioned these garments out of the skins of live animals. And here's the salvation clue. The salvation clue is that through all generations, we try our best to be good and to be right, to be holy, but we can't do it without God. And God was saying right here in the very beginning that when we sin, that blood had to be shed. That the shedding of blood would what would be the price for sin. And even now, he's telling him that one day, he was going to send his son, Jesus Christ, who would die on a cruel cross, who would shed his blood to cover your sins and mine. Isn't that awesome? After Adam and Eve sinned, became aware of their nakedness, they made fig leaf clothing to cover themselves. And God took those fig leaves and covered them with the skin of animals. And here's the thing, folks. God wants to restore that kind of vision of what human beings are and how important we are and how much he loves us. We are his passion. We are the crown of his creation. And the whole rest of the story, the other 30 weeks that we're going to look together at, is all about God bringing us back to this wonderful relationship with him. So what do we need to learn today? Well, this is it. God wants to be with you. I mean, from the creation story, we discover the value of all human beings. God wants to be with you. Think about that. God wants to personally be with you. At great cost to God, God has done everything possible to get you back. You are valuable. You are loved. True, lasting self-esteem begins by believing what God says about you. What does he say? You are made in his image, that he chose you. And because he chose us, we can choose him. You know, recently I had a conversation with a dear friend here at First Church. She told me a story. It's a sad story, but yet it was a story that turned out awesome. She told me about how several years ago she was in a situation and she needed to create some capital. So she sold a truck that meant a lot to her and her family. Just sold it. And then the years went on, and as God blessed and as things got so much better, she added this desire in her heart to find that truck because she wanted it. So you can find anything on the internet now. She found this guy. He lived in Connecticut. He had this truck. She wrote him a letter, and she said, "I want my truck back." Now, he was such a nice guy, he actually sold the truck back to her for the same thing that he paid for it several years ago, which I thought was really nice. And you think about this, folks. She looked, she searched, she was willing to pay whatever she had to pay because she wanted it back because of the sentimental value of that truck to her and her family. Now, there might be some of us here today who said, "Why in the world would you ever do such a thing?" You know why? Because she loved that truck. You want to know why God did what he did? Why he created everything? Why he made us the crown of his creation? Why he sent the flood to start all over? Because he loves you that much. And he wants you to be a part of his family again. And you know the real neat thing, folks? There's some of you here today that you know that beyond a shadow of a doubt. That you are a part of God's family. You are the crown of his creation, and you know it, and you are so proud. Let me introduce to you my dad, because I am a prince, right? Some of you realize that, and that is awesome. But there's some of us here today that don't realize that. And we've walked down this road of disobedience, and we fought against that nature, that sinful nature that started with Adam and Eve, and it still just overcomes us today. But folks, I'm here to tell you that all you have to do is say to God, I want to come back. Because the rest of the story is about Him seeking you. And at any time in the story, we can realize that and we can come back into His family and allow Him to love us as He always has. Let's pray. Father in heaven, God, I thank you for these great people here today. Thank you, Father, that they're here seeking you, seeking your guidance, seeking your care. And Father, I pray today that that we'll be able to understand the importance of the beginning of this story. That in the beginning, God, that Lord, nothing preceded you. That you were there in the beginning. That God is love and that you desired to love us. So Father, you created us in your image for that reason and for that purpose. But Lord, as Adam and Eve, because of our sin nature, we rebelled and run away from that love. God, may we see today the beautiful act of your love that wants more than anything else for us to come back and love you once again. And Lord, all of us here at First Church, we desire to have that. And I know that these folks are here this morning because they have a desire for that. So Father, right now in the quietness of this moment, I pray, Lord, that they could reach out to you. Lord, to those that are here that know how much you love them, Lord, may they glory in that. But Lord, there's some of us here today that just wonder about that love because we feel so unlovable. And Lord, just convince each of us here today that it's not about our goodness that makes you love us, but that, Lord, you love us because you are love and that we were created in your image. And God, this whole thing about life is about us coming back to you. So I pray, Lord, for those that need to do that today, that, Lord, they can. And they can reach out and know of your love and of your grace and of your mercy. And Lord, may we realize that and accept that and embrace that even now as we sing and share together. In Jesus' name, amen.